If you're listening via Spotify, I invite you to follow Sir Kevin Says. If you're on Apple Podcasts, you can show your support by subscribing and rating the show 5 stars. Alternatively, you can watch the video version of this and every other episode on my YouTube channel, Kevin Michael Chong, or visit my website, www.sirkevinchong.com, and view or listen to them that way. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, today we feature Alex Maldonado. Thanks for being here, man. Episode 26. And guess what? Guess what, man?
What? What's up?
This song I'm about to play, guess who wrote it?
I'm not sure who
wrote it. All right, let's hear it. Do you remember that song?
I do remember this song.
Who wrote that song?
Apparently, I wrote it.
Did you copyright it?
No, I didn't copyright it.
All right, we got to get that done.
But we should. Yeah, I mean, I wrote this for you.
Thanks to Alex. Thanks to Fred, Izzy. I think that's all the parties involved.
I remember when you told me you had an idea for a podcast.
Yeah.
And you said we were talking about intro music. And you said you wanted something Neo Soul vibe.
Yep, yeah.
So I went on YouTube, typed in Neo Soul beat. Just pulled up one of the first Neo Soul beats I could find and just started messing around with
it. That's right.
There's one of those things where you have this creative moment and it all falls into place super quick. I wasn't spending a lot of time on it. I spent maybe like 10 minutes. I was like, dude, this sounds cool.
Yeah.
And I think I sent it to you.
Yeah, that's right.
I was actually looking for...
You have the original one?
No. Not on me. I was looking at my phone, but I have a new phone now, so it's not on my current phone. I think maybe it's on my old phone.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm curious to see how much... It probably didn't change much from the original.
Because I think the only thing that Izzy added was the line at the end, right? Bum, 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 right?
Yeah, I think he added some. I added some synth too.
That's right.
I added synth to it, and then Fred helped me with the lead line. I think he actually recorded the guitar lead line for that. And then Izzy added some nice keys to it too.
Yeah, so that was fun, man. We did that probably in like two days or so.
Yeah, it was really quick.
We went in to track at Fred's house, and then we sent it to Izzy the same day. I think for him to add some stuff at home. Well, we are here, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining.
Thank you for having me. Even though I fought you on it.
I know. At first, Alex didn't want to do it because he's not a man that likes to be recognized as often as he should. But he's one of my closest friends. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm super excited to have him here on Sir Kevin Says. Alex has worked with an array of artists. The last couple of years, you've worked with Becky G, Leona Lewis, Nipsey Hussle, Kodak Black, Gallant, and Boogie.
Yep.
Is that
Boogie.
Right?
I think he was under the same management as Black.
Yeah. Alex is a music director, producer. He's also an arranger, guitarist, and he's a husband.
That's pretty new.
Yeah. You just got married last year.
Thanks to you. This whole relationship is thanks to Kevin. We got married last year. Kevin here officiated the wedding, which was really nice. It's been a crazy year just in general. But my wife and I were talking. We're like, I think this has been a true test of our marriage. And just how great we are and how well we work together, that we could go through what's going on now and still love each other.
Yeah.
Because people are having to spend a lot more time with each other than normal. I can't just go on tour and be like, you know what, you're bugging me. So I'm going to leave for 2 months. And then when I come back, I'm going to miss you by that time. So things are cool. But things have been great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. She's been working. Well, for those that don't know, Siani Maldonado is a nurse. She has been working the COVID unit.
Yeah.
So how does that work with you guys? I know it could be intense because sometimes some people want to hang out with you. And when she's working that unit, you're very hesitant to see people, obviously, for good reason. So how do you manage that?
Right. We're not necessarily scared of getting COVID ourselves, even though, it could be a serious thing. We're more concerned about passing it on to other people, like you said. So in the beginning, when she first started working the unit, we have two bathrooms. So she would take a shower in the spare bathroom and stuff. And as soon as she walks in, she puts her clothes in a special hamper that doesn't go with the normal clothes and stuff. And she, would not wear the shoes that she wears to work inside the house. She takes those off at her car. And puts them in the trunk and then puts on a different pair of shoes to wear in the house. So there's a lot of precautions and kind of stuff that she's already been doing even before this pandemic.
Because,
it's not only COVID that she has to worry about. There's right. so many other diseases and exactly. crazy things that exist in the world that when you work in the healthcare field, you have to be aware of. But yeah, in the beginning, she didn't work it so much. But when they ended up closing, or when they ended up reopening everything, the COVID numbers went up really high at her hospital. And they were at max capacity. So mm-hmm. she had to work COVID unit like every day.
Yeah.
And normally the nurses are only supposed to work it maybe like 2 times a week or something. They were only supposed to work it a certain amount of times, yeah. but she was beyond that. So it was like, man, you know, I want to hang out. I want to do these things. But she's just exposed too much to the COVID unit. So we had to be careful and take things, you know, take the necessary precautions to protect our family and our friends and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. Thank you to Siani for her service, man. I know it's an intense time for the world, especially here in Cali, because people are reckless sometimes, man, and don't act like they're supposed to, don't wear their mask. You know, even this, we're kind of a little closer yeah. than we'd like to be.
And I just got a COVID test.
You did? So oh, that's right. So we're good.
I'm clean. I'm clean.
Dude, I do not want to take the COVID test, man. After what you told me, I definitely don't want to do it now.
It's not that bad, bro. I promise you. It, you know, they swab both nostrils. Total 5 seconds.
Wow.
If that. And the moment where you start to feel like, oh, shoot, this sucks.
Is when
they're pulling that thing out okay. and going into the next nostril. And, you know, we've all got water in our nose when yeah. we're in the pool and that it sucks and it's an uncomfortable feeling, but it goes away quick and it's super fast.
Yeah.
She took my blood pressure right before she was going to do it, and it was so high, bro. I was a little nervous.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah. Man, so talk to us a little bit about your musical journey, because you've gone through a lot in the past, what, say 5 to 8 years that we've known each other. How long has it been? Like 7 years?
Well,
6 years
no,
now?
I mean, I've been with my wife. We've been dating for like, we've known each other for like 7 or more years, so... I've known you for maybe close to 10 years.
It's been, wow. We met at Toby Keith's out here in Rancho.
Yeah, his bar and grill.
Yeah, the bar and grill. We were doing a country gig with our buddy Joseph, and I think you came to check out the band because you were going to be the next guitar player, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's right. We met that day, and then, I don't know, we hit it off really well.
Yeah, it was like the next day you were at my house eating Taco Bell and talking to me about your life. I was like,
and your dad
who
was,
is this guy?
And your dad was watching wrestling, bro.
Right, and he's still watching wrestling, man. He's like 80 years old and
yeah.
videotaping every wrestling event.
Yeah.
But
so you got into music. That's been a huge part of your life. So has the medical field. You love mm-hmm. everything to do with that. Tell us about that journey.
Well, I was an EMT for about 8 years with American Medical Response. And I think the problem with me in my life journey is I like too many things. And it's like, oh, this is fun and this is cool and I like this. And it's like, man, just focus on one thing and just be good at that one thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was an EMT for 8 years. And before that, I had been doing gigs and stuff. And I had some weird experiences with gigs where, you know, we've all experienced where you're supposed to get paid and then you don't get paid and
yeah.
they take advantage of you. And I was like, you know what? I want a real job. I don't want to do this. So that's when I became an EMT and I enjoyed that for a while. I actually became disconnected with the musicians that I was connected with at the time.
Yeah.
Because they would be like, hey, we got this gig. Are you available? And I would say no. And I wasn't saying no because I had another gig or something, which is, you know, usually cool. They'll end up calling you back if yeah. they know you're busy with music. But they just realized I wasn't doing music anymore. And so they stopped calling me, obviously. Mm. It's so easy to get replaced in the music industry. So, yeah, I lost contact with a lot of those people I used to play with. And then it wasn't until, you know, our mutual friend Joseph, mm-hmm. he kind of is the one who kind of brought me back. And I was like, man, what are you doing? Like, I have this gig. And it had been so long since I really played a gig for money. I remember I had to audition for the country band. He brought me to his house and Ashley was there. And he's like, had me play a list of songs and stuff like that.
Good old like, Joseph, man.
I started back from the bottom, man.
You have experience with gospel music, rock. You used to do a lot of covers on YouTube.
Yeah.
How many views do you have in total?
I think total is like 4 million views on
that
channel.
Yeah, you did a bunch of covers. We were actually watching them at Edwin's.
Yeah.
Yeah, not too long ago.
You guys embarrassed me and I unlisted all the videos.
Yeah, you have a bunch of great covers, man. Yeah, and then
thanks, man.
It's funny enough, like some people have recognized you when, you know, we're out and about. Like, hey, aren't you the guy that used to do the YouTube covers on like Taylor Swift?
That's so random,
dude. And a bunch of other artists.
Yeah.
I know you were doing that for a bit. And then you got into the pop world. Becky G, Leona Lewis, Black. And I think, is that?
There was a guy named Gallant that I fill in for, but I'm not like the main guitarist for him.
And Kodak, right? And Kodak Black.
I did a TV
hit
with
him.
Yeah. And, yeah.
How was that, man? Last year was busy for all of us, I think.
Yeah, last year was a good year. It was a lot because I was working, you know, for a lot of different people. And then on top of that, you know, you and I do event bands and we do like corporate events and weddings and stuff. Yeah. So we had that going on. Then church.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a lot of stuff. I think a lot of us felt comfortable and kind of happy with where we were at. And then 2020 hit. And it was
for
like,
everybody, man.
None of y'all are musicians anymore.
We retired that day, March 14th,
we
man.
We did.
Yeah. Aside from that, too, you MD and have MD'd at multiple churches. So what's your responsibility when they call you to do that?
Typically, when I get called for that, it's having to set up tracks, the Ableton sessions, and delegating parts to the musicians, making sure I'm communicating with them and that they have the resources that they need to learn the song. You know, worship tracks have like 8 guitars in them and stuff. So, you know, I would send out isolated guitar tracks for guitar players to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that. And then the day of, you know, just making sure the rehearsals run smoothly and that if there's anything that we need to go over, we go over it during rehearsal or run through. But my whole thing with music directing is I like to do as much as I can beforehand so that when it comes to the day of, that everything's just smooth.
Yeah.
So I make sure people have the resources. I make sure people are comfortable telling me if they need help with something or if maybe a part's too hard, I'll give you another part to play. That, you know, because we usually don't have too much time on a Sunday morning
to
iron out like huge details.
Yeah.
So it's like, let's try to make sure everybody's got what they need for the week and on time, not like the day before.
Yeah, yeah.
And that way, Sunday mornings are a breeze.
Yeah.
And then it's just like communicating with sound and making sure that we have the proper routing with the tracks and what they need me to send to them and, and stuff like that.
So, yeah. What do you look for in a professional musician?
Come prepared. come prepared is the number one thing, man. Like, you know, people always think it's chops and, you know, how many scales can you play? How many notes can you play in a minute? But I just need you to know where the verse, where the chorus is, like, and what your instrument is doing for each of those parts.
Yeah.
Like, if you can play the whole song by yourself without the band, then you've done your homework, you know? And to me, that's like 90% of the battle. Like, know the song, know the form of the song, and just know what your instrument is doing for each part.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing to me.
Yeah.
And then come on time, have a good attitude.
That's good.
Like, you know, just basic things that you should, basic characteristics that you should have for anything. And a lot of the stuff is easy, man.
Yeah.
Like, we don't, even in the pop world, we're not asking you to do a 20-minute solo or some kind of crazy jazz thing.
Right.
Like, we want you to come prepared and just know your stuff and be confident.
Yeah, so. That's good, man. What qualities do you think have led to this point in your career? Characteristics or maybe things that you have attained throughout your life that have led to this point?
I think a major thing is being dependable. And the things that comprise being dependable is coming in prepared and knowing your songs.
Mm-hmm.
Coming in on time and then being working well with others. If people could trust you with those three things, it'll open up so many doors.
Yeah.
Because people will get things where they need a guitar player or drummer. And if they could think, man, I know Kevin is dependable. I know he's going to come in prepared and know the songs. Then it's easy to recommend you.
Right.
You know, but I think one of the biggest things besides that is the relationships, developing good relationships. Every time I hear the word network, I think of a negative thing. I think people, they're always trying to
force themselves to be friends with people that they think can benefit them.
Yeah.
But I'm always like more of a fan of just developing friendships with people that inspire you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people that are in the field that you want to be in.
Yeah.
That are successful, that you admire, but that push you to become a better version of yourself. And we talked about Joseph a little bit earlier. He was one of the guys who helped me come back into music and kind of get me to start gigging for money again when I had stopped doing it for so long. And, you know, that's how I met you. And you helped me get back into church and playing at church and doing all the other gigs that we've done together. Yeah. We've done a lot of stuff, man. And you have introduced me to a lot of people. And in the pop world, you've introduced me to Edwin Carranza, Derek Cobbs.
Yeah.
And through them, I've met Darion Javon, and we've done a lot of cool stuff together with them. And even in the church world, I've met a lot of people like Charles and Fred from Crossroads.
Yeah.
Through them, we met Donovan Smith, who's kind of helped me a lot too. Get connected with like Saddleback and, you know, I have Aaron Hamby to thank from Saddleback too. He's given me a lot of opportunities at Saddleback. We have Ricky and Izzy from Christian Anthony Music who have helped employ us for a lot of gigs, not just not just for the company, but for churches and for other events too. So it's like, and these are people that I consider like my friends, not just people that I'm, oh, you know what, I'm going to use these people so I could get somewhere.
Exactly.
Because these are also the same people that if I'm not doing good, they're not going to call me.
Yeah.
You know, like if you have a gig that requires a straight ahead jazz player, you're probably not going to call me. And that's cool. I'm not ever going to hold that against you. Mm-hmm. I just know that we have to employ people that are going to get the job done.
Right, right.
But if that person happens to be your friend and they can get the job done, that's cool.
Yeah, like, it's a win-win situation.
It's a win-win situation.
Yeah, that's good.
So I just think really developing good relationships with people who are going to be honest with you, with people who are not just going to employ you just because you're a friend, but people who are really going to push you to become a better version of yourself. Like, I'm blessed to be surrounded by people like you guys. And I for sure wouldn't be doing the things that I'm doing now and working with the people that I'm working with now if it wasn't for you guys.
Yeah, God is good, man. Yeah, opportunities, I think, come from those that present them, you know, especially those that it's best when they come from your friends.
Yeah,
I think so. That's good, man. That's really good.
And the biggest thing, the biggest reason why I'm doing what I'm doing besides God is that God blessed me with a wife who who really, you know, because I mean, you know me, I've been through a lot of ups and downs where I'm like, oh, I don't know if this is for me or I don't know if I can make it. Like, there's a lot of people around me who are doing these great things and I'm just here at home. You know, we all go through those times in our lives as musicians. And even doing these podcasts with you, we talk to some heavy hitters.
Yeah.
And they've been through times in their lives where things aren't as busy as they want them to be.
Right.
It's just a part of the game, you know?
Exactly.
And we can't let that get us down and discourage us, because we could literally be one email away from one of the biggest opportunities of our life.
Yeah.
And so I have my wife to thank for, because she literally told me, I'm not going to let you give up on your dream to do what you want to do with your passions.
Yeah.
And that's something that was big for me, because there's been a couple times where I've been discouraged and, you know, thought maybe this wasn't for me or I'm just never going to make it. But having her there, really believing in me and pushing me and, you know, working hard. She works hard. She's an RN and just works hard every day, like during this pandemic, especially like we're talking about. So kudos to her. But yeah, I have her to thank for
sure. That's cool, man. Shout out to Siani, wherever you're at this moment. When you take on the responsibility of music director, or you're in a leadership role, right? How do you deal with personalities that might be a little bit on the tougher side? They're a little stubborn, or they don't like being told what to do. How do you handle that?
Luckily, with all the people that I've worked with so far, I haven't really encountered that too much. I think maybe I've encountered that more in church than I have out in the pop world. And I think you've been in situations like that with me. Man, sometimes you just have to, in certain situations, you have to step in there and say, hey, you know what? Like, you didn't prepare. So I'm going to need you to step down and I'm going to need to play the song.
Yeah.
And that's happened before with us.
I've
and it's
that.
Like, in that position, there's nothing I could have said to that person. They just didn't learn the song.
Yeah.
You know? So, and you can do those things gracefully. It doesn't have to be disrespectful or anything like that. So I think when you're dealing with people who are tough, you have to remember to still deal with that situation with respect.
Yeah.
And you can show them tough love.
Yeah.
You know, it isn't like, you know, you didn't learn the freaking song. Like, get the heck out of here. It's like, no, you can be tough, but you can still be loving.
Yeah.
And I think that encourages people to be like, you know what, man, I messed up. And, you know, next time I don't want to disappoint that person because that person has been good to me.
Yeah.
So I think those are the best ways to deal with those situations.
Do you have anybody that ever reaches out for advice?
Maybe like once or twice, but it's always something simple. It's like, maybe you just need to spend more time listening to the song.
Mm.
I think a big portion of coming prepared isn't like having to sit at your instrument for hours, but it's actually like listening to the song.
Yeah.
And kind of just like locking it in your head.
Yeah.
If you can memorize the song in your head, playing it on the instrument is the easiest part.
Right. Right.
So I think sometimes, you know, or people are busy with lives, and I get it. But it's like, if you have a lot going on, just talk to me and I'll try to make it easier for you, especially in the church setting.
Yeah.
You know, we have a lot of volunteers or people who got a lot of life stuff going on, but they still want to get involved.
Yeah.
Cool. Like, maybe I won't give you such hard parts next time.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So there are so many different ways we could navigate these things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, for those people that are open to talking and open to like trying to figure out how to get better or do things in a better manner, we can always figure out a solution.
Yeah, that's cool. One of the biggest qualities to have in music is retention. We just talked about a little bit. How do you go about doing that? What do you work on, or what do you try to memorize in your head to know the structure of the song? Or
yeah. So, man, retention is a huge thing, and it's probably one of the most important things, especially in the pop world. And I think the key to retaining stuff is just to listening to things over and over. There's no kind of shortcut to that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there kind of is. I think for some people, like writing things out, like if I really want to retain something quickly, I'll listen to the song and chart it out.
Mm-hmm.
Like at least chart out the format of the song, like verse, chorus, breakdown, this kind of stuff. And I think when you write things down, it helps solidify things in your head. And then it just comes to listening to it over and over until you feel comfortable, like, I can replay the song in my head and it's exactly the right thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, to piggyback on that, a lot of times when you're playing in the pop world, you get to rehearsal and they're arranging stuff on the spot.
Mm.
Or that's like, let's add this, let's change that. And it's like, if you didn't do your job to learn just the song how it is, you're going to have a hard time remembering
everything,
all these
else,
little things.
Yeah.
Because it's like your processing power in your brain is already spent on trying to remember just a song on its basic level. And then you're adding to that learning new stuff on the spot. And your brain's not ready for that. Your brain's like, man, I could barely remember the song as it is.
Right. And if they struggle with like being nervous or whatever, that's another aspect.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you come prepared and you know the song already, your brain doesn't have to worry about wasting power on that aspect.
Yeah.
You could concentrate all your brain power on learning the little hits that are coming, or this line you have to learn, or we're going to take out two bars of the bridge and do this instead. You know, like if I told you to memorize 10 numbers right now, and then 5 minutes later, I was like, let's change 3 or 4 of those numbers, you're not going to remember that, right? But if I told you, let's change the 2nd and the 5th number of your phone number,
right?
That's easy for you to do, right?
Yeah.
Because you already have your number memorized.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with coming in prepared with songs.
Mm-hmm.
We can manipulate the songs and it's going to be easier for you to remember what we manipulated.
Yeah.
Because you already know the song.
Yeah.
The core song.
Right.
So those are just little things like, that have helped me. And I think it becomes a little bit easier as time goes on, because especially when you're focusing on a few genres like pop or whatever, or worship even, a lot of the formats of the songs are the same.
Mm-hmm.
Like with worship, you have intro, verse, chorus, intro, verse, chorus, bridge, chorus.
Yeah.
That is the format for like 90% of worship songs.
Right.
So once you start to pick up on those things in whatever genre that you're playing, it becomes even easier to retain songs because you already know what's going to happen.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And that's concerning CCM music specifically, right?
Yeah. For and the then pop has its own formats. Yeah, exactly. And jazz has its, you know, AB. You only need AB sections in jazz, right? The head and the solo section.
Right, right, right.
But
any other passions we don't know about?
Man, I have a passion for hot sauce. And if I don't mention that.
I wish you would have brought some, man. Shoot.
You should have told me. There's not enough room here.
How many for do hot you sauce. Own?
Right now, I have 78 hot sauces.
Okay, name your top three.
My top three, I have this mango habanero one, and it's from a company called, I can't remember.
Buffalo Wild Wings?
Buffalo Wild Wings. I actually have a Buffalo Wild Wings hot sauce.
Is it as
I
good?
I have the mango one from there, too.
Oh, nice.
I actually use that one a lot. But man, there's this one by Cholula called Green Pepper.
Okay.
That's one that you can get at any store.
Yeah.
That's easily accessible, and I really like that. I'm a big fan of green sauces. Would you say top 10?
Top 3.
Top 3. Yeah. Oh, so.
Talk about one. Retention, bro. Yeah.
Wow. So, let's see. Another one, there's this one called Purple Hippo by Angry Goat Pepper Company. That one's really cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, my top 3 will change depending on what I'm eating.
Yeah. Do you take them to actual restaurants sometimes?
Bro, I take them to family functions, man.
Oh my gosh. That's funny.
My wife is embarrassed about it.
But you really got into that this year, right? I mean, as far as owning as many as you do, because I don't remember this being a thing even last year.
Yeah, I think when I moved out and I was on my own, I was like, man, I could do whatever I want.
Let me
own a bunch of hot sauces. And that's exactly what I did. Because I had a lot at my parents' house, but it was maybe like 10, 15 hot sauces, which is still a lot for most people, I think.
Yeah.
But having close to 100 hot sauces, that's...
Yeah, that's a lot, man.
Yeah.
Shoot, I don't know how you don't deal much with acid reflux, because that's a problem.
My mom's cooking is extremely spicy, even stuff I can't eat. So,
oh, wow.
So I think she...
Yeah.
Kind of prepped you
for that. That's cool, man. That's cool.
Yeah.
You also love science.
I do.
Yeah. Talk to us, man.
I love science, man. I think it's so science, music and science, I think was instilled in me by my dad.
Mm-hmm.
My dad is a huge fan of music. Ever since I can remember, there's always been music playing. He's always been telling me, hey, listen to the bass line. Hey, listen to the cowbell on this. And so I think he's the one who kind of made me think about music critically, because he would always tell me or point out these parts in music.
Yeah.
And I would focus in on those parts. And I'm just actually thinking about that now. I think that's why I've always listened to music critically, and always I would listen to my favorite songs, and I would be like, you know, this time I listen to it, I'm just going to focus on the guitar and listen to what the guitar is doing throughout the song. And then I listen to it again and I'll be like, what is the bass doing?
Wow.
And just focus on the bass.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, it's just funny I was able to think about that right now. But in addition to that, my dad has always been into science, and he always related science to his passion for God.
Mm.
And it was his fascination with science that always led him to God. You know, people always like, man, science and God are two different things, but it's, you know, God created everything.
Yeah.
So any time we explore his creation, it's exploring the things that he created. And they should all point back to him, you know. I have a favorite verse. I can't remember it off the top of my head right now, but it's, you know, basically God's fingerprints are in his creation. And I think the more you explore things, the more you're like, this is not random. Like, how can this be random? But yeah, he had a book. That was called Mind's Eye or something like that. And they would go through biology, astronomy, and stuff like that. So a lot of my passion of science comes from him. And I've carried that through all my life.
You know,
I would go to Griffith Observatory and they'd have like a monthly talk there about what the current news is in astronomy.
Yeah.
And I would drag whoever's willing to go with me to those things. And
that's cool, man.
But yeah, when I have free time, I like to...
To go and visit.
Explore those things, or at least go online and read articles or whatnot.
Yeah. You talked about all these different things, man, that you are into or you love, you know, you have a passion for, medical field, science, music. How do you tie all of this into your faith?
Yeah, I think all of these things are a byproduct of, you know, who God created me to be. And I think, like I said, like, I think one of my favorite connections with God is through science, through learning about how the body works or learning the crazy things about space or quantum physics and how weird that world is. It just fascinates me about who God is and the amount of detail that he put in his creation and stuff.
Yeah.
And that as cool as all those things are, we're still more important to him than all the amazing things that he's created.
Yeah.
You know, you look out in the sky at night, my wife and I just went to Joshua Tree not long ago, and the amount of stars that you could see out there.
Yeah.
I took a really cool picture of the Milky Way. There's like so many cool things that exist in the universe, but still we're the ones that he loves the most.
Mm.
And to me, that's like, how can you not believe in God after experiencing those things?
Yeah.
You know? And then my passion for music, you know, I've been in some really cool situations where God has used me in certain situations. A lot of times we don't know he's using us when he's using us. But, you know, a lot of people are like, what are you doing in the secular world as a Christian musician? You should be at church. I was like, no, like, yeah, there should be some people at home taking care of the people at home. But you also need people in the world being a light to those people as well.
Yeah.
And I had an experience one time where some guy, a musician I was working with, said that he got saved because of how I was on the road. And it wasn't something I was like necessarily thinking about, but you know, I didn't go to the strip clubs. I didn't do a lot of the other stuff that people were doing.
Yeah.
But I was still showing them love. You know, I would go out to eat with them and do other stuff with them and never judge them, never say anything. And we talked about church and worship and stuff like that. And, you know, he had reached out to me months later and said he gave his life to Christ. And
wow,
he said,
man,
you know, I have you to thank for kind of being an inspiration for that. And, you know, he said, you never judged us and you just always showed us love. And it's like, man, like,
that's awesome, man.
I felt like, you just confirmed like I was supposed to be there in that moment, you know?
That's cool.
So it's little, there's so many things where my passions have led me to God or my passions have been used by God to do things in people's lives. And it's amazing, bro.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that's awesome, man. That's a great testimony. Yeah. You didn't talk about it, but I just remembered you used to go storm chasing.
I'm telling you guys, there's so many things that I'm interested in. And it's like,
and you've taken some really cool photos, man. You've had some or had them on your IG for a bit. I don't know if they're still there.
Oh, yeah. I'll put them back up.
Are you still doing that?
Unfortunately, we live in a location where thunderstorms are not the norm. So, no, I haven't done it in what, maybe 2 years,
man.
And typically where we live, the thunderstorms we get are the summertime, thunderstorms. And it's just when they do happen, I'm busy or doing something. But they just don't happen often enough where we live. And, if they do, I'll try to go out there if I'm available.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I prefer to, you know, obviously take lightning pictures at night because during the day, I can't do it. There's a special device you could use it with the camera to do it during the day, but they have like little lightning detectors and stuff. But yeah, we just don't have them often enough,
man.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. But I remember you used to go out with your Mazda, bro. Mazda 6.
I had a Mazda 3.
Mazda 3, there we go. My bad.
I actually got stuck in the mud one time too.
Oh, that's right. Who was with you?
I was by myself
In
like the Temecula area. And I pulled over to the side of the road and I was just waiting to see what the storm was going to do. And it was raining. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go down the road and check out what's there. I tried to go and I wasn't moving anywhere. So I was stuck, bro. I didn't know who to call or whatever. But this guy with a pickup truck who was driving up and down the road and pulling people out of the mud.
Oh, man. So somebody was actually,
just a good Samaritan.
Wow.
Helping people out. And, thankfully, I wasn't there for too long. I think I was there for like a total of 20, 30 minutes from the time I got stuck to the time somebody drove by and helped me. So
yeah. A lot of people don't know this, but at the very beginning, this is maybe 2 years ago now, we're approaching 2 years actually of the podcast show. It took about 3 months, I think, before I actually started the show. And I think I reached out to you. Mm-hmm. I was like, bro, I have this idea. I'd like to start this podcast show. It's going to be about this, feature these people, eventually feature friends, which is something that we're doing now, which I'm super thankful for. But Alex was the one that would go to all the podcasts with me. The very first one with Abraham Laborio. Mm. we borrowed your camera.
Yeah,
I borrowed another camera from another friend, and I didn't have a tripod for it. So you had the camera handheld for like an hour and a half.
Oh my god!
And you were trying to lean on the sofa and like do things with your arms or like just try to keep balance, bro. Right. But I remember that, man.
The things I go through for you, bro.
If you guys watch the first episode, you guys will kind of know what I mean. I mean, it's been much improved since then. You know, I invested in all the gear I felt was necessary for the show. But
yeah, tripods. Necessary for all cameras.
Yeah, and cameras themselves, lighting, all that stuff that, you know, a lot of people may not pay attention to, but very important if you want your guests to look good and to sound good, you know. But Alex was the one that really was there for me from the very beginning. So I appreciate you, man.
Yeah, man.
Thank you for taking the time to do this. Just one more question for you. You know, I ask it to everybody. What does value mean to you?
Every time I think about the word value, I think about time, because I think where you place your time is where you place your value. You can say you value this or that, but if you know, I could say I value my wife, but if I don't take the time to spend with her, then what does that really mean?
Mm.
You know, it doesn't really mean anything. I can say I value my faith in God, but if I don't spend time with God, do I really value that? So I think value is really tied into time and where you spend your time. And, you know, the things I, you know, just looking at the things that you spend your time on a weekly basis, that's what you put your value in.
Yeah.
And to me, just as a quick answer, that's what I feel
value means.
Yeah, yeah, value means to me.
Yeah.
And how you can discover what you truly value. You know, look at what you do as opposed to what you say you value. And if those things align, then that's what you value. But
yeah,
I think your time is where your value is.
Yeah. For sure. Ladies and gentlemen, this is episode 26 with Alex Maldonado, one of the closest friends I've ever had in my life. Dude, thank you so much for being here, man.
Thanks for
the song that we're going to actually do as a walkout. You know what I'm saying? Let me see if I can find it in the bank.
Yeah, don't accidentally play that.
There you go. Episode 26 with Alex Maldonado. Here you go.